Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421 and thereof the sixth stanza. O God, Jehovah, good and kind, on Zion's mount in clouds enshrined, thou art our sun and shield forever to upright souls that seek thy face. And what follows the sixth stanza of Psalter 421. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 22, the verses 14 through 38. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 22, the verses 14 through 38. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, as Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and script and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise a script. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Most merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has gathered us and our dear children by renewal within the walls of thy house. And then thou yet maketh the great difference. So many upon the world not allowed, many not enabled, many no desire and not willing. And we may still be under the precious means of grace, which thou wast promised to use, and blessed by thy Spirit for the conversion of sinners and for the welfare of thy Zion. And then in this evening hour, it is a reflection service for the whole congregation. And may there also be souls for whom it may be a post-communion service. The bride of old has prayed, awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. Let my beloved come into my garden, and eat of his pleasant fruits, Lord. May there be souls in our midst, whom in this morning, at thy table, have tasted of the precious things of the Lord, and in this evening may come up to thy house with those fruits which thy dear Son has merited in the state of his humiliation, and which he bestows on his children in the state of his exaltation. To have peace, to have rest, to have joy, to have praise, and with the desire that in this evening hour to taste more of those good things. But Lord, it can also be in the time of preparation, but also after the Lord's table, that the winds, that the storms can blow so bitterly, that our spiritual house begins to tremble and to shake, and necessary to examine whether by thy grace it has been placed and fastened to the foundation, and that is Christ in him crucified. Lord, may there have come up souls in this evening hour that have humbly begged of thee, that they may hear thy voice in this evening, that thou mayst speak unto them as the disciples have experienced. And then it is possible that souls have come up who do not know it anymore, tossed to and fro. Lord, wilt thou be mindful of them? Thou hast promised for the hungry and thirsty that there shall be food in thy house. Then necessary for the communicants to examine in the light of thy holy word whether they had a wedding garment merited and given by thee without one thread of self. Lord, to remember the unconverted. Thou knowest how that each and every one in this morning hour, the confessing members who have also made a confession, how they have sat in their bench, O Lord, may it please thee, to convert also in this evening hour sinners unto thee. Wilt thou remember our boys and our girls and our young people? May many be added as jewels to the meritorial crown of King Jesus. Do bless thy word to that end in the church. Do continue to help the consistory. May there be many errands in hers. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to instruct their dear children, and do bless the labors in our Christian school. Remember and help all those that labor therein. Continue to grant traveling mercies. Remember thy church all over the earth. Remember and bless the branch. May thy word have been blessed to the hearts of young and old in this day. And then we commend unto thee a young couple who soon hope to be united in holy matrimony, to begin life's journey together as husband and wife. Ah, may they be found on their knees, begging of thee, that it may not only be a marriage in thy providence, but a marriage in thy favor, needing thy indispensable blessing for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, mission work, the beloved for the Father's sake. May there be a large ingathering in the latter days of the earth. Do continue to uphold and remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Oh, when it becomes too heavy, wilt thou grant that place at thy footstool, at thy throne of grace, and that out of the mourning, that spiritual mourning may be born, and that is a missing of thee. We commend unto thee all of our elderly ones. Wilt thou continue to help and remember our care home, their residence, and all those that may lovingly care for them. Remember those in the hospital, the infant child may soon return home. Continue to remember the handicapped daughter, and remember the old widow, also when she is called upon to undergo surgery in her old age. May thou watch over her, grant tokens of thy favor. Remember all those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. Remember those that are undergoing treatments. May they be blessed. Remember those that have fears, cares, and worries concerning their body. Remember those with weakness of mind. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters. Oh, do keep our dear youth under the old truth and the old ways. We commend unto thee our poor country. Wilt thou yet grant repentance while it can yet, and while it may yet? Lord, dwell richly amongst us. Grant thy gracious help. Open thy precious testimony. Do go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. May it be experienced in special ways that thou knowest of us and of our children. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou bind the devil? Give a little rest in thy house. May the daily cares be placed to the side. May we be given to hear the voice of the living God. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 31, the stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. ascend thy approval from on high. My righteousness make clear, and what follows. Psalter 31, the first four stanzas. Beloved congregation, we may come up to God's house in this evening hour to reflect upon what has transpired in this morning hour, whereby renewal the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ was administered in our midst, whereby renewal it was heard, all things are ready, and the Master calleth thee. And then there was a separation in the midst of the congregation, not saying that it was a perfect separation. That shall be when the King comes upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. And then it shall not be by invitation, but then the King, then he shall order the holy angels to separate the mass of mankind and the family circles and also the congregation of Pitcher Butte. And then the sheep shall be placed on the right side and the goats on the left. And then it shall be final. Oh, in this morning hour it was yet proclaimed that there is a table and that there is a Savior who can save to the uttermost. Let us begin with the boys and girls. Of course, you do not have a church rite. Thus you may not come. But children and young people, may I ask you, how have you sat in your bench? How were you filled with a holy jealousy? Have you sent up a prayer to that great God that you may belong to that people? Oh, are there a few little Samuels in my midst who have learned to say with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth"? My unconverted fellow travelers, may I ask you, how have you sat in your bench in this morning hour? Perhaps have to confess, hope you may be troubled therewith. Perhaps that you have to say, I have sat on my bench with such a cold and stony heart. Tell the Lord and beg him that he may give a heart of flesh. The table declares the white flag of peace and pardon, and we read that he is that almighty Savior. Oh, I hope that there have been many that have not sat so easy in your bench. A profound impression. Standing outside, unconverted, without Christ, without God, and without hope in the world. Rest not on convictions, still a blessing, when it may be a little tender, still impressions of that one thing needful, but we need to be converted. We need to be born again. We need to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. With those desires, with that love, and with that longing for the living God. Are there also a few souls that have come up in this evening hour that know it no more, that had not such an easy day? May be troubled with Matthew 10. The verses 32 and 33. But he that confesseth me before man, I will confess before the Father. But he that denieth me before man, I will deny before my Father. Communicants, how has it been in this morning hour? May there be those that have tasted of the good things of the Lord, and that in this evening hour you may have rest, peace, joy, thanksgiving, and come up to God's house with a prayer that you may receive a further blessing and a further instruction. Because when we think of the disciples, then after the Passover was celebrated and the Lord's Supper instituted, then there was not a period. But then Jesus, then he has instructed those disciples, spoken such precious things in John 14 through 16, the high priestly prayer, but also spoke a word of separation. And now for the true child of God, there are especially two matters that are so unbearable when it is right. Same thing with the marriage, and Christ is called the bridegroom and the church the bride. And when it is good and well in the marriage, then there are two things that are very unbearable. The first, when there is distance, a great separation. And the second is when there is silence and not a speaking to one another. In this evening hour, with the Lord's help, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 22, the verses 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, as Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou wert converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Our text words speak of Jesus' special address to Peter after the Lord's Supper, with four thoughts. First, containing a serious forewarning. Secondly, encouraged by an effectual intercession. Thirdly, answered with a mistaken confidence. And in the fourth place, confirmed by particular details. Jesus' special address to Peter after the Lord's Supper, containing a serious forewarning in verse 31, encouraged by an effectual intercession in verse 32, answered with a mistaken confidence in verse 33, and confirmed by particular details in verse 34. We have heard it in this morning hour, how that Christ has celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And then in verse 17 and 18, that still refers to the Passover, because what the Passover history tells us, that he had different cups. And then we read, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. But I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Those verses still refer to the Passover, and then follows the institution of the Lord's Supper described in two verses, in the verses 19 and 20. And then we read solemn things of Judas, one of the 12, that he would betray him. Concerning that betrayal, there are different thoughts. Different commentators believe, according to Luke, that Judas was also present with the celebration, with the institution of the Lord's Supper. But when we compare Scripture with Scripture, then it seems to be implied that Judas has left after the Passover, before the institution of the Lord's Supper. In Bible times, then sometime order was not stressed as much as subjects. And when we read the other three Gospels, there it is implied that Judas has left after the Passover, confirmed in the Gospel of John, because there it is written that after Jesus has given the sop, and that refers to the unleavened bread that would be dipped, because that bread was very hard and crusty, that unleavened bread would be dipped in the sauce with bitter herbs. And then in John 13, the verses 27 through 30, and then we read in verse 30, after Jesus has given that sop to Judas, that immediately he went out, and it was night. Then Christ has continued, oh, have you heard it, congregation? Then it is evident that those disciples, those 11, did not understand fully the riches of the Passover whom it pointed to, and also the significance of the institution of the Lord's Supper concerning that broken bread and poured out wine, because we have heard it, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest, a fruit of our defallen Adam, and that awful pride, not the first time that they were struggling with that issue. We read that after three had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and when they have come to the bottom, that father with that boy that was so distressed, and where the disciples could not heal him, that afterwards they were also discussing among one another who was the greatest. Of course, the disciples, they had reason to be disappointed with themselves, because in John 13, the first verses, then we read at the supper that it was required that one would wash their feet. And then there was not one of the disciples. They have undoubtedly looked at each other, but no one has stood up. And then Jesus, as a servant, has taken a towel and washed their feet. Thus you can understand the disciples discouraged, disappointed. Jesus has also spoken of his departure, it was also mysterious and also hidden. But now concerning the washing of feet, 'tis our nature to try to justify ourselves. And undoubtedly when the disciples have thought of it, they did not have the right understanding. Jesus has corrected them, but they thought, if I am now one of the greatest, then at least I was free from washing the feet. But now, the Lord Jesus Christ in our text. And what a privilege and what a blessing. Because the Lord has a people upon the earth that have a desire to hear the voice of the bridegroom. Whatever way it may be, whether it is for correction, if they may but hear his voice, that is still a token that the Lord knoweth of his people, that silence is the worst. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a personal and a special message for Simon, and that was a message after experiencing special blessings where he has partaken of the Lord's Supper. Then in our text, and then we see the necessity of the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples to watch and pray. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, then our boys and girls can understand that that was a very special and a solemn message. When a father and mother coming home from church together with the family, and then if the father would turn to a son by the name of Peter and say, Peter, Peter, then I think you would realize that father has something very special to say. We read different times in the scriptures that when the Lord has spoken to his people, that he has mentioned their name twice. Abraham in Genesis 22, when he was ready to slay his son. Moses in Exodus 3, when the Lord would appear unto him in the burning bush. And that little Samuel, you know it, children. Samuel, Samuel. Oh, in the New Testament, that dear Martha, in Luke 10, the verses 38 through 42, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Oh, think of Saul persecuting the church on the way to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? What a solemn message in Matthew 23, verse 37. To Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and sendest and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children as a and her chickens, but ye would not. And now in our history, then we read that Peter, Simon Peter, that his original name was mentioned, as we find it in John 1, to remind Simon Peter where the Lord has found him, and that is so necessary and profitable for a child of God, that humbles, that makes small, that glorifies the Lord, where the Lord has made a difference, where there is no difference. And then we read, behold, a privilege, when there may be those beholds in the way of providence, in the way of grace. But in our history, then it concerns a temptation. And then we read, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. He got Judas. He also desired to have Peter. And congregation, he desires to have each and every one of us, each father and mother, each son and daughter, it is true, through our deep fall in Adam, then we have come under the banner of the prince of darkness. But Satan knows that the church, that God's house, that is a very dangerous place concerning his kingdom. As Satan knows that that is where the Lord has promised to dwell, to work by word and by spirit for the ingathering of his church. And now the Lord desires to have you. And to that end, then Satan was 6,000 years experience. Then he shall do everything in his power to draw us and our dear children from the old ways and from the old truth. Our second thought, encouraged by an effectual intercession and congregation, when we read of the work of Satan, oh, a comfort for the true child of God, only allowed as far as the Lord permits. And now concerning the work of Satan and of a sifting, then Satan does not have so much work in the world, because they are in his clutches. Satan knows that a wonder can take place, but not so much work. Does Satan have much work with us, congregation? What do you think? Oh, when we are worldly, oh, then the Satan shall do his best to continue to tempt us and to draw us further into the world. And Satan knows that the world and church cannot dwell together, and that many times it shall lead to a departure from the truth. Oh, Satan does his best because Satan hates also people in church that become restless and troubled about divine realities. Thus Satan does his best. Oh, then he is glad, even with people under the truth, orthodox, but when they may remain in their comfort zone, agreeing with the old truth, free and sovereign grace, we can do nothing. We do not do anything, passive, and because Satan believes the Bible. We even read in James 2, verse 19, ye believe that there is a God, ye do well. Satan also believes and trembles, and to that end, oh, then Satan shall do his best that we become not too alarmed, that we become not restless. Maybe that he whispers many times in our ears concerning the means of grace. We are chosen, we shall be converted anyway. And that he whispers in our ears that the means of grace, a weekday service, do not have to be overly pious and not so important if we leave our place empty and seems like Satan is quite successful. Oh, Satan, the rich young rulers, for people that are given to trust in their self-righteousness, then Satan shall do the best that they become not too alarmed, because surely Satan was alarmed when that rich young ruler went to Jesus asking, what must I do to obtain eternal life? Oh, then Satan, concerning the foolish virgins that are given to trust in their lamps and profession, then Satan shall not trouble them that they may rest in their lamps without the grace of God. But who does Satan now in a special way assault, attack, and sift? That is the living child and God's true people. They can tell us of those times, different circumstances, oh, in a week of preparation, what a questions and what an assault can also be after partaking of the Lord's Supper. Is the same as with pirates when they are in sea looking for a ship to rob. Then they look for a ship that is low in the water, laden. And the more that a child of God receives, the more angry that the devil becomes. Ah, let us add, Satan, he does not so much attack a church of Laodicea that is lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, because they shall not do so much damage to his kingdom. Satan shall not trouble a backslidden child, because that can be very advantageous for his kingdom. Much confusion in the church, a riddle to the world. Then he shall leave Samson in the lap of Delilah, and Samson can still speak reformed. Oh, he has said, I shall arise at other times, but the Philistines have come upon him. Oh, with Samson, that does not arouse to a holy jealousy, but a Peter, and more so, there is much that we cannot understand, that we cannot fathom, but Satan has heard that they were called to labor in his vineyard. And now we read, the Lord shall watch over his true people. If one of them, one of those chosen ones that is written in the book of the Lamb, if they would fall back into the hands of the devil, then what reasons the devil would have to rejoice and say, one that has been chosen, one that has been purchased, I have received back, cannot, shall never be, because the foundation of God lieth sure. But now, encouraged by an effectual intercession, and then we read, and that was the wonder and the comfort for Peter, but that is a but of the covenant. Oh, that is a but of eternal life. That is a but of his faithfulness. And that is a but concerning his truth. Because do we not read in Isaiah 49 verse 16 that I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before thee? But I have prayed for thee. Oh, then in this chapter, then the disciples, they were given to behold. They were so blind for it. Lord, as a people that learn, they are such slow learners, and that everything must come from above. But blessed that people that may sit and remain at his feet, because with the Passover and with the institution of the Lord's Supper, there that priestly office of Christ and his suffering, part of his priestly office, so richly portrayed. But now Jesus was given to instruct Peter further in his priestly office, because a part of that priestly office is also intercession, beautiful portrayed in the Old Testament by the high priest with that breastplate upon his heart. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. What a blessing. One that may also be in the church. It's what also our children and young people need in this time, and also older ones. Not always good to single the young out. Old need the same. But what a blessing it is. There's nothing that the devil fears more than a praying and an interceding church, because the devil believes and has experienced that the Lord hears and answers the prayers of the church. But how necessary, we have stated, Satan desires to have you, desires to have us. But then what a privilege the Lord binded upon the heart, that the prayers, there may be a little wrestling at the throne of grace, that the Lord may keep us and our children, and convert us as he has converted all thy people. And then, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When we speak of conversion, then we speak of the moment of regeneration, the necessity of a daily conversion, and after falling, that there's also a conversion. Then Jesus says, Peter, under the deep ways, must be profitable. You must use it for your brethren. Let us first sing. Psalter 40, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect, the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise, the truth that is sure evermore, and what follows. Psalter 40, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. Jesus' special address to Peter after the Lord's Supper, containing a serious forewarning, encouraged by an effectual intercession. And now in verse 33, answered with a mistaken confidence. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And the other disciples agreed. We read in Matthew 26, verse 33, though all men should be offended because of me, yet I will never be offended. And then we read, likewise also said all the disciples. And in John 13, verse 37, I will lay down my life for thee. What do you think of the words of Simon Peter, congregation? And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Do we look down upon Peter? Let us ask ourselves the question, would we be willing for the truth, for the Savior, to go into prison, even to die for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we compare with Peter? Is that sometimes the question that we are busy with? If it would really come to the point, it is easy in a time of peace to speak, to preach off the pulpit, and to sit in church. But if it would come to the test, would we really be willing to suffer, go to prison, and to suffer death? Then maybe we do not look so much down upon Peter. Because what Peter says, that shows what lives in his heart, a great love and zeal for his master. He has stated those words out of the bottom of his heart. That sometimes also take place with our boys and girls and young people. That one in the family circle, when there is spoken of the seriousness of times, all the temptations, people leaving the old truth and the old ways, that you say, Father and Mother, I shall never do that. But then we must realize that we need to be kept. Then it is better to say, and that was now the mistake of Peter, was a certain pride, placing himself above the other disciples, as he said, though all men should be offended, maybe Thomas, so easily discouraged, Philip, quite ignorant concerning the way of salvation, although they all were. Oh, that would be possible for the other disciples. But Peter was such a zeal and was such a love. No, then with Peter it shall not happen. Thus the mistake was a mistake in confidence that he would be enabled to stand in his own strength. And what is now necessary? We read in Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, then that admonition, he that thinketh he standeth, beware that he fall. Thus with Peter, his mistake was, oh, he needed to learn more, led deeper into the mysteries of salvation, and to learn what we read in John 15, verse 5, without me, ye can do nothing. Then Peter needed to learn to add, Lord, how it now lays in my heart, with such a love and with such a zeal for thee and for thy cause. Then there are times that I believe that I am willing to give and sacrifice anything and everything, but Lord, that is also of thee, and I need to be kept. Because when thou withdrawest thy hand for a moment, and when thou allowest Satan to sift me as the wheat, then I shall fall. To that end, Jesus has given a few particulars that it would be a lesson that Peter would never forget. And then we read, and he said, I tell thee, Peter. Now we use the name Peter. That means rock. But Peter, you need to be kept. That Peter has learned. And to that end, when he has written to the persecuted church, then he has written in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, and that Peter has learned by experience. And so the Lord teaches his people. We can read the scriptures. We can read of these matters. And we can confess it. We can profess it. Can be orthodox. Can be reformed. But the true child of God, they learn these matters in the way of better experience. And then Peter has written, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Then Peter, how disappointed and how discouraged it's come to pass, not before a sword, but from a maid, a girl. Art thou also one of his disciples? The third time, sworn oath, and the rooster crowed for the second time. But now the blessing. He had one that interceded. Oh, he has fallen, but he has not fallen away. And oh, for a Peter. Then Jesus turned and looked, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And now Christ, oh, what a love, how deep, how unfathomable that Christ, he has continued, even with the Peter and the other disciples, because they've all fled. But Jesus, as the willing servant of the Father, he has continued. He was led to the cross and also paid for the sin of Peter. Oh, we have said it Thursday night. 'Tis so necessary. What do you think, congregation? When Peter has denied his master, do you think that he has simply prayed, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Oh, no. Then for Peter, it has become particular. That particular sin of his denial, which he has never forgotten, congregation, the Lord has given, that the Lord's Supper may be administered by renewal in our midst, shall be a last time. There is only a step between us and death. Oh, the table still declares that there is pardon, even for Peter's, for disciples that have spoiled everything and continue to do so. Oh, the broken bread and the poured out wine declares that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And now that church, such a faithful Savior, never forsake the work of his hands. And the true child, they shall desire communion and speaking. That a Peter has experienced. And now we read in Jude, verse 24 and 25. And that is for the comfort of the true child of God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. The Lord bring us together on Wednesday. A day has been set aside, a day of prayer. May the Lord grant a special day. May it please the King to grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication. The temporal needs are manifold, but the greatest need is our never-dying soul. The Lord remember us in His mercy. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard in this evening hour that Simon has received a solemn message. But he has received the word. May there have souls come up in this evening that have also begged for a word. Lord, do remember us and our dear children. Well, to bless the catechism classes. Remember the consistory when it hopes to meet and bring us together for a day of prayer. Oh, may it truly be a day of prayer, of humiliation, of repentance, and a little begging of Thee, that Thou may remember us and our dear children as we travel on our journey to that never-ending eternity. Well, Thou keep us under Thy good care and Thy kind protection. Well, Thou grant a prayer for one another. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 439, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Israel's God, how good Thou art to all the true and pure of heart. Though paths of saints are fraught with evil, Thou showest favor to Thy people. And what follows, 439, 1 and 2. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.